Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. It is May the 16th, 2022, on a spectacular morning here on the Delmarva. Very blessed today. Beautiful weekend. Oh, it was that weekend, the weekend that you come out of your cave, or I come out of my cave, and just a real transition. You know, from winter to kind of, I don't know, I think we completely skipped spring. But yesterday felt a little bit more like summer, a little sunshine, really energized to do a few chores and some things. You know, I don't know if I've, you know, I think I have. We're going to move. And, you know, everybody's like, have you started to work on the kitchen? Have you started to work on the garage? Have you started to work on the closets? And I'm like, nope, nope, and nope. Major procrastination. And so yesterday got up and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to start working on the kitchen. And sat down on the kitchen floor and just started dumping the cabinets. And my kids, I would hand it to them and we had them lay it out all over the dining room area just to kind of see what we had. We were able to throw a bunch of stuff away. And then we had the problem, which I've, you know, kept thinking about the whole time, is where do we put the stuff? And we basically put everything back in the cabinet, which is kind of, I mean, it's important. It's good for us to go through some of this stuff and get rid of some trash. And there was a bunch of stuff we were able to throw away, but we don't have anywhere to put it. You know, it's not like we're moving today. You know, we're probably not going to move for another 6 weeks. So, you know, we want to do something. Everybody's like, you need to, you know, we'll come over and help you. And we're like, it's not that we don't really want to do it. It's just we don't really have, you know, it'd be nice to clear a bunch of stuff out and then take the new stuff and start putting it in the new house or put it into maybe, you know, one of those pods, you know, where they come and kind of leave a pod at your house and then you, at your leisure, fill it. Well, the problem is we need the stuff, you know, it's all like pans and stuff. I mean, we need to cook. So I don't know. But the point is that yesterday was that day that happens for me every year is where I really feel like I feel like I'm coming out of this funk, the winter doldrums. And it was very, very good day yesterday. It was fun. We had the kids, you know, and they were, you know. One thing I kind of realized yesterday is, and I've known this, but, you know, my family is really my friends. And I know that, here, I think I had the headphones on. I know that they're not my friends. I know they're my kids and this, but, you know, that's my crew, right? Those are my people. You know, they help me with the kitchen and then we, you know, power wash the porch, you know, the back porch where we all like to hang out and play and, you know, get all that power washed and, you know, but the kids hung out. You know, everything we do is really with our kids. We don't have a lot of friends. I do have friends, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't get up and say, hey, I want to go hang out with my buddy Jimmy, or I want to get up and go hang out with somebody else. It was, I needed to get up and do some stuff in the kitchen, and how can I use my kids to help me? You know, those are my people, and, you know, I think that there is a sort of a moment of surrender where you kind of give up the fact of hanging out with other people and really your family is your crew. I think that happened for me a while ago, but I'm glad it happened because I love I love the fact that I get to hang out with my family, right? And I have two boys and a girl, 9, 10, and 16. It's actually going to be 10, 11, and 16. But, you know, they're good. They're good, fun kids, man. And so yesterday to get up and have them help, and then we went to my son and I rode our bikes to the Surf Bagel place over here and got breakfast and brought it back. And for an 11-year-old boy to ride from our house over to Surf Bagel was just like the journey of a lifetime. And this is our, we've done it three times now, but like on Fridays, like we, can we ride our bikes and get breakfast on Sunday and bring it home? I'm like, absolutely. And you just see this real excitement and it's very cool. I just love having kids. I hear when people don't have kids, I want to, you know, start the whole speech of why they should. And it's really everybody's journey. I'm just so grateful that mine ended up with having kids because they're just awesome and a major pain in the ass, but just awesome. So, but we got up and took care of some kitchen stuff and then took care of some outside stuff, power washing the porch and just cleaning up. It was a great morning. Went to Starbucks, had some, got some lemonade iced teas, and then I went and checked out our new house and just kind of hung out all day. And it was just a lot of fun and had a great dinner and, you know, just a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And just, you know, I did not get to go to the meeting on Friday. I chose the devil over humility. I chose the sin, chose the sinner to be a sinner instead of going to the meeting. But you know what? I'm sure they're fine. I'll be at the meeting next Friday. I thought so, you know, I had this list. I made a list of things, right? A list of ideas. And one of the things that I thought would kind of be cool to talk about would be health, you know. I'm a pretty sort of healthy guy. You know, I grew up in a family. We were not great sports people. We didn't, you know, everything wasn't riding on the backs of our sports abilities. You know, we played, you know, back in my day, we played basketball when the basketball season started. We played soccer and we played baseball. There wasn't a lot of lacrosse. I didn't grow up on the East Coast. I grew up in New Mexico. So we didn't have field hockey or lacrosse, but we did soccer, we did basketball, and we did baseball. And then we did BMX. And I also went out for wrestling at one point in my life. So I wasn't opposed to sports. I liked to be active and do stuff. So I kind of grew up in sort of a healthy, I think, I wouldn't say, forget that. I think I just grew up in a normal environment because I can also remember my parents buying, we used to have like 10 cases of different sodas in our garage. My dad was in the military. We'd go to the BX and my parents, they just couldn't say no to us kids, man. And they just would buy tons of soda. So we would have, you know, Dr. Pepper, Coke, Mountain Dew, every freaking sugary drink that was out there, we had it. And we drank a lot of soda. And I look at our lives that we have today, we do not drink soda. My wife has, you know, actually, I shouldn't say that. We buy like the little mini Cokes, and my wife will drink those. And the kids get one mini Coke a day. If they're with their dinner, if they want one, which isn't really bad. I think that's okay. But growing up, I mean, it was kind of a balance. We stayed active. We were definitely not couch potatoes. We would, you know, whether it was out biking or motorcycles or playing soccer in the background or hitting golf or backyard or hitting golf balls or mostly BMX. We rode a lot of BMX bikes, a lot of hiking. So we were very active. And pretty healthy kids, I think. It wouldn't be until I moved to San Diego, which I would start, you know, the struggle, right? I was doing okay. I was sort of messing around a little bit with alcohol, sort of messing around with a little bit of weed, but that was pretty much it. I had done some meth in New Mexico a couple times, but and I'd done some coke a few times, but, you know, for the most part, it was just drinking and smoking. But when I finally got out to San Diego, I dove into that amphetamines, the methamphetamines, the speed, and wow, whew, that gave me a beating. I mean, at the time, it seemed fine. And honestly, if I look at myself today, I'm fine. I have all my teeth. I don't know why everybody loses all their teeth when they get on meth, but for some reason I did not. Maybe because they can't afford a dentist. I don't know what it is, but somehow I came out of the whole battle with my teeth and everything. But what really took a beating was my metabolism and my lifestyle, and it all was kind of happening at a real transition point in my life, in my 20s, and this point in my life where, you know, teens and 20s, you know, I could eat anything, do anything, and I didn't really gain weight. I was a 28-32. That was my gene size, and you know, nothing could change me, right? But I didn't realize what the amphetamines and all that behavior was doing to my metabolism. And when I finally, you know, and I was thinking about this last night. You know, I love to feel like I'm doing great. It's a gift. I'm one of the lucky ones. But the reality is that and I've said this before, if I was struggling with methamphetamines, I don't know how sober I would be today. Halo on fire, been there. But yeah, the, you know, when I was, you know, I got sober, and whatever the miracle that took place was a miracle, because the next day I had no desire to drink. But if I was struggling with meth in Delaware, I don't know where I'd be today because that drug had a major power over me. And I shared that, you know, I went to jail because of meth, got introduced to, kind of reintroduced to going to some sort of meetings while I was in jail, which would later expose a whole lot of other shit for me. And, but, you know, really determined to be sober and change my life. And I remember getting out of jail and I got high that day. I mean, literally got high that day. But my body was so wrecked from meth and amphetamines. And, you know, we've seen different things. You know, Adderall is an amphetamine. Adderall is pretty much meth. If you're taking Adderall, you're probably getting fucking nuts because it is, it's the same fucking thing. And it will wreck your spirit. And I just remember how physically wrecked I was from meth. So skinny and thin, and I thought I looked great and could eat anything and drink anything and just garbage in, garbage out. And it was just a tough time. And I had already made the commitment with my father to get back to Delaware because he had approached me. He said, hey, do you want to stay here and be on your own or do you want to come to Delaware and we can help you out? And I'm like, I'm coming to Delaware because – you know, I wasn't a very smart guy, but I was smart enough to know that staying in California on my own was not going to work out. So, but coming out of that damn jail and getting high and just falling right back into that world. Right back in. And if it wasn't for that commitment that my father had made with my father, and then obviously him calling, get the goddamn truck loaded up and get the fuck out of there. You know, he was pissed. And finally able to load up and get out of there and driving across the United States, getting half. I think we got stuck in Bristol and had to have a friend from San Diego FedEx us some meth because we couldn't make it. The meth fuel had run out and we were down for the count. And someone sent us some meth in the mail. Sorry. It was a long time ago. And but it got us to Delaware and then just the real effects from all the hard living started to set in, which was basically my metabolism was fried. You know, I had been taking an amphetamine for so long that I didn't know how to eat. I didn't know what my limit was. I didn't know what was uncomfortable was. I didn't know anything really about feeding myself and taking care of myself. And on top of that, you know, depression set in and, you know, I'd love to say that it was a chemical imbalance, but it was me not getting what I fucking wanted, which was to be in San Diego and to be doing meth. That's what I wanted. Anything other than that, I was depressed over. And so coming here, starting this, you know, this job, I remember trying to help. I was helping a guy do car washing. I mean, just, oh man, it's at the bottom, you know, it's at the bottom. And just not being able to barely pull it together and oversleeping my first day. And then this hunger, right? This hunger that hadn't been around for many years showed up and this insatiable appetite. And oh my God, forgive me if I've shared this, but I just, one of the, you know, a meal for me on a Friday night would be beer, vodka, chicken wings, potato chips, cigars, cigarettes, and then whatever else I could find. That would be the gluttonous night that I would have and just shoving all the shit. You know, if I, like today, if I was, you know, there's a restaurant next to us, I'll sometimes get 10 wings just because I just don't want to eat a lot of bread or something. I just want basically a protein, and so I'll just get the wings. I might eat three, maybe two. But three, thinking I'll take the rest home for my family who never ever eats them. So I basically paid, you know, $15 for three wings. And but that's all I eat. But back in the day, I was eating, you know, I'd order 20 wings from Kickin' Chicken, and I would eat all 20. And I would eat more food and drink more stuff. And so what ended up happening is I began to get really fat and unhealthy and really just gluttonous, and it was pretty sad. And I remember my brother and I who were pretty much both in the same condition. You know, we were both not victims, but products of hard living in San Diego. My brother was even worse. And so what better idea than to put the two of us into an apartment and live together? And my God, the fights him and I would have, and the fucking bloody knockouts that we would have. And it was just two addicts struggling. And we weren't even dry. We were, you know, we replaced everything we used to do with just alcohol. So it was a bad, bad scene. So one of the first things that started to happen when I finally got sober is just I started to want to feel, I started to care, right? It's kind of how it works, right? We just start caring again. And I started caring about how I looked and how I felt. And automatically, you know, I've got a little bit of a cape on because now I've stopped drinking and I'm stopped using drugs. And so now I'm a bit above the rest, right? I have a bit of a cape because I'm now Super Tom and just going to the gym and just starting to care. I remember starting to go to a spinning class and my buddy Rick's like, dude, you will sweat so much. And I'm like, nah, I don't really sweat that much. And I remember after the spinning class, the whole floor was just soaked of all the sweat and toxins and nastiness that started coming out of my body. And it was just, oh my God, it was just nice. And, you know, so today, one of the greatest things that I have, at least for today, is, you know, I'm pretty healthy now. You know, I struggle with this image that I want to have and then the reality. And sometimes I use bad examples of people that I want to be like, which just isn't really possible today at 53 years old. You know, I'm not walking around with a six pack and, you know, all chiseled up. I'm 53. I mean, I know there's 53 year old guys out there that are all chiseled up, but I can tell you that the deepest, darkest parts of my life where exercise was involved, usually sadness was there too. And I just didn't feel good about myself, and I was going to fix everything through working out and fitness. One of the challenges that I've really been going through is that for the last 20 years, I've really worked out to kind of continue a little bit of my poor eating. And, you know, I don't eat 20 wings anymore, but, you know, at night I'll wake up and have cupcakes or some dumb shit like that, but, you know, if I'm running 4 days a week like I used to, I could hide that. But the problem is now is I'm very happy, you know. Great weekend with my wife and kids, with my people, my posse, and I enjoy them so much. And, you know, my wife's like, I've been trying. One of the things that I've realized is I can't run 4 or 5 days a week anymore. I'm just not that sad. I don't need to be that awesome. So I'm finding it harder and harder to go for a run. I made the commitment with the doctor to run on Fridays. He called me on Friday and said he wasn't going to be able to. So I didn't run, and I don't really want to. I was telling somebody the other day, I go, I'm trying to figure out how to live a healthy lifestyle at a healthy weight by not running, right? By not exercising. I mean, you know, I do push-ups and I'll do, you know, one run a week, you know, if it works out, but I don't want to be running every day so that I can eat like shit. So I've been trying to adjust how I've been eating. And my wife says, she goes, your stomach's getting flatter. And I was like, oh, awesome. And she goes, I don't like that. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I don't want you too skinny. I don't want you too thin, right? She goes, I like you a little, you know, normal, I guess, rounded a little bit more. And I was like, really? And she goes, yeah. She goes, and this is, you know, this is her own thing, but she's like, you know, I'm afraid if you get skinny again, you're going to not want to be with me. And I'm like, oh, no, that's crazy. But that's a whole nother podcast, right? Let's see. Maybe we can do a reading here. I love you, honey. Daily reflections. Not a creaking today in the building. All right. I really like that daily reflections that I read, I think, on Friday. That was awesome. All right. May 16th. We forgive. Often, it was a, excuse me, hold on. All right, let's try that again. Often, it was while working on the step with our sponsors or spiritual advisors that we first felt truly able to forgive others, no matter how deeply we felt they had wronged us. Our moral inventory, had persuaded us that all-around forgiveness was desirable, but it was only when we resolutely tackled step five that we inwardly knew we'd be able to receive forgiveness and give it to. Yeah. It's all humility, right? Humility is huge. All right, that was 12 and 12, page 58. What a great feeling forgiveness is. What a revelation about my emotional, psychological, and spiritual nature. All it takes is willingness to forgive. God will do the rest. Yeah. I've shared before, you know, one of the greatest things that I've found in this program was the ability to say sorry and the ability to forgive, you know? And, you know, I shared about it the other day. It's weird how I have to take a hard look at myself, become accountable, figure out the part that I played before I'm able to actually forgive. Right? I mean, I guess you can fake forgive, right? But until I take a hard look at it, until I realize what I did wrong, until I realize what I could do better, until I realize why I did it in the first place. You know, what was my motivation? Greed, ego. I mean, I guess that may fall under the same thing, but until I can figure out what I was doing at the party in the first place, I can't forgive. I'm a victim. And it's humility. I also think it's maturity. You know, I think we slowly kind of grind through it. And, you know, I think you can learn it earlier or you can learn it later. But you learn it when you learn it, right? But it is that. It's the humility. The opposite would be like, I don't forgive you. It's the same. I just talked about this, about that business I started with the crazy lady. You know, it would have been very easy to stand right now and say, that lady fucked us over. Because of that lady, we had zero success. And it's like driving over a fucking broken bridge, right? And the bridge breaking and you falling into the water. And then saying, that stupid bridge, when you knew the bridge had problems, you knew you were too heavy for the bridge, but you did it anyway. And then as you float down the river, you're saying that it was a bridge's fault. I mean, you have to say, okay, man, maybe I underestimated the bridge, right? Maybe I didn't pay attention and just thought I knew everything, and this is what I get. Until I take a look at it, you know, you were a victim. And victims, I feel like, need antidepressants and counseling. So, sort of kidding, but anyway. Hey, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, and we will talk to you another time later.